Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Welcome back to Defined by Moments, where today we're going to have a special edition. Instead of continuing through our series on Proverbs or even pausing to look at something about leadership, we're going to talk about life. Obviously, this week, we all turn our thoughts and our attention to celebrating Thanksgiving. But I want to take that and I want to step back and look at this from what I'm going to call thanks meaning. This morning in our service, the pastor was preaching through section of Romans, and he said something that just really struck me, and I've not been able to get away from it. It was this statement: you have the best, fill in the blank, for you. Whatever goes in that blank can be good, like your spouse. You have the best spouse for you. Or whatever goes in that blank could be considered bad. You have the best illness for you. But where we really get into the situation is we have to recognize that fact and rearrange our attitude accordingly. So it's this whole attitude of whatever I'm going through, trouble at work, difficulty battling some kind of a disease, like my mom who's battling cancer, that is the best thing for us at that time. And if we do not believe that, then we, in essence, are saying that we know more than the Almighty Creator, that we doubt the goodness of God that is contained in Scripture. We don't see that He is sovereign over everything, nor do we believe in the goodness of who He is. Because we know what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say. You know, it's grace that saves us. It's a gift of God. But what does verse 10 go into? For we are His workmanship. We are His masterpiece. And He, as the master designer, is working through us to make us more like His Son. That's thanks meaning. So grab your Bibles and go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you are familiar with Scripture, you know exactly where I'm going in chapter 5. It's one verse. It's very popular. Many sermons have been preached on it. But we need to take this and we need to really stop and look at what Paul has for us in this church at Thessalonica. If you go back and you think about the city, it was a major city. More than 100,000 people. It was a wonderful harbor, made it a wonderful trading route. And there was a large number of Jews that were located in that city. But the letter that Paul was writing to them was really to offer them assurance and encouragement, because they were going through a very difficult and enduring period of persecution. You know, that's one of the reasons that you look at both of these letters and you see a prominent thing about the return of Christ as Paul is writing to them. But you know, he also seemed to take issue with them as they were trying to take matters into their own hands and start looking to wealthy people, wealthy Christians, to be able to look after them rather than depending upon God. So Paul here is offering lots of encouragement before he gets to the teaching. And then ultimately, this last section here in chapter 5, Paul is giving them what I would call the community code of conduct. These are things that if you truly place your faith and your trust in God, that we should see happening on a regular basis. So that's the series that we have been in, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, reading from the ESV, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So number one, we're going to see the step. And that step are those first two words, give thanks. Now, when we hear that, we all, yes, I need to say thank you because someone did something for me. I need to appreciate it. A synonym of that is gratitude. We use those terms, but do we really ever stop and think, what does it mean to be thankful, to give thanks? And that's where we get this title of thanks meaning. If you take the Greek term here, literally it means good graces. It means that you acknowledge the good graces that have been given to you. You receive that grace with praise, with thanks, and with singing. But where do we as humans get grace? It's not from one another. That grace comes from God. More than any other, we as Christians should be thankful. We should be praising. We should have gratitude and appreciation in our heart. Why? Because we see what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, His Son. He has given us the ultimate grace. So when we are thankful, even during those difficult times, what are we saying? God, You are my master. You are my creator. I am accepting the grace, the good grace that You are giving me, even though I don't understand it. I recognize that You are conforming me to the image of Your Son through this process, so I'm going to be thankful. Boy, you want to talk about an attitude change? That's what this is. I mean, if you think about our current situation here in 2020 with the COVID pandemic, you know, people that are losing their businesses because of shutdowns, people that are struggling with mental health issues because they can't go out as they used to, there's this aspect of fear. But you know what? God remains unchanged. And we have the opportunity to be able to look at God and go, you know what? This is good grace that You're giving me. Let me receive it. Let me acknowledge it and let others see it in my life. That's the step. So give thanks. When? In all circumstances. So that, we see, is our scope. It's in all circumstances. It's in everything. That means all. All means all. It's whole. It's complete. It's whether we consider it good, whether we consider it bad, or whether we're indifferent to it. Guess what? We accept the good graces that God gives to us. So not only do we give thanks, but we give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is the will. Number three, we see the selection. God is all wise. He is all knowing. He knows exactly what we need when we need it. And that's why He provides that to us. This aspect of will is it's a best offer. So stop and think about that. This is not a car purchasing experience where the dealer comes in and they're trying to make more money. You're trying to, you know, save a little bit on the price, and they come out and go, this is the best offer. No, that is not what this. This is not a salesman. This is God in His wisdom, in His sovereignty, in His power, looking at you, looking at me, and going, this right here is best for you right now. You can't understand it. You don't see it. But this is my will. This is my desire. This is my wish. This is my choice for you. And that goes back to, what do you believe about God? So we see the step where we give thanks. We see the scope that we give thanks in everything. We see the selection because we give thanks in everything because it's the will. But fourthly, we see the source. Those next two words, of God. The creator, the owner, the sustainer of everything. The question that I have to you is, if you don't believe that God is the creator, the owner, and the sustainer of everything, then this verse means nothing. Why? Because you have to humble yourself in order to see that. You have to understand that you are not the authority of everything. We can't look at this immaculate, you know, grandfather clock that my grandfather, my dad spent years putting together and go, hey, it just happened. It was created. It was designed. It was, every piece of that was done for a purpose. And that's what we look at when we see what we have here. We are to give thanks in all circumstances, for it's the will of God. There is one God. There is one creator. There is one Lord. We like to put ourselves on the throne of our lives. We like to believe that we are the ones that are in control. when in fact that is not the case. So we see, first of all, that we're to give thanks. Secondly, in all circumstances. Thirdly, for this is the will. Fourthly, of God, in Christ Jesus. And we get to our fifth and our final piece, which is those last two words in the ESV, for you. That's the shift. God works for his glory, but he works to give graces, good graces to you. Why? Not because you deserve them, not because I deserve them, but because he loves us. Because he wants to reconcile the relationship between us that we broke, not him. We broke it. In the Greek here, this you will often see this translated in English, and you know, as concerning you or toward you. But the Greek term means the point reached. So God is aiming at you. It also has the references the word of a penetration. So think about this. You know, I hate sports analogies, but I use them a lot. You know, if you have a zone defense that wants to sit back to make you be able to, you know, to shoot from the long ball, they're trying to get over here or there. How do you break it down? You penetrate into the defense, they collapse to you, you kick the ball out. So it's that aspect of everything. It is to you in order for the good graces to flow. So in everything, we're to give thanks. Let me go back to how this started with that phrasing from the pastor this morning. You have the best, fill in that blank, for you. Why? Because what does thanks really mean? It means good graces that are acknowledged. It's that we receive those good graces with praise. It's that God has given us his best offer, his best choice for you and for me right now. Yes, we make a mess of things, but God can still teach us through that. So when we look at thanks meaning, there are several things that we need to acknowledge. Number one, who God is. Number two, who we are. Number three, what God is doing in us. So first of all, who God is, we've already talked about it. He's the Almighty Creator. He's all-knowing, he's all-wise, he's all-powerful, he is sovereign. But who are we? We're his creation. We are limited. We are flawed. We think that we're good people because we compare ourselves to others. But when we compare ourselves against God's holy standard, we fall short. So who God is, who we are, what God is doing, he is trying to reconcile the relationship with us. And if we accept that gift, like we said earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, we become his workmanship, which means we are his masterpiece. He is making us through all the circumstances that we can have, whether we're struggling financially, whether we're battling sickness, or whether we've been blessed beyond belief with money, with a food over our head, a home to live in. Guess what? If God has provided that for us, that's what's best for us right now. Doesn't mean we're going to have it for the rest of our life. But he's going to use that to make me and to make you into the image of his son. So when we are not thankful, we are saying that God does not offer good graces to us. Think about that. It's not that we're just taking something for granted. It's much more sinister. It's much more rebellious that we are saying to God, you're not giving me what's best for me. I know what's best for me, not you. And we forget that he is looking at this from a completely different perspective. So as we wrap this up, there are two things that we need to make sure that we walk away with. Number one, if you cannot be thankful, then you are prideful. Now that sounds harsh, but it's true. If we are grumbling and we are complaining and we're griping, it means that we have put our focus on ourselves and what I want, what I think I need, And we're saying, God, you don't know what I need. Thankfulness comes from humility. If you cannot be thankful, then you're prideful. That is a blatant statement, but I believe it. If you cannot be thankful, then you are prideful. And number two, blessings have a purpose. The things for which we should be thankful, the things for which we should humble ourselves and say, you know what, thank you, God, for this, even though it hurts. There's a purpose. Romans chapter 2, verse 3, Paul writes and says, "Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God?" So he is in this long discourse where he says that people who perceive themselves to be wise are actually foolish. They exchange the glory of God for a lie. And he's now wrapping this up with a conclusion, verse 4. "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience?" Saying, you know what? God is kind. God is patient. God is loving. God is gracious. But notice what he says in verse 5. Excuse me, the latter part of verse 4. You presuppose on that, not knowing, and here's the phrase, that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. The blessings, the grace that he gives us, is not for us to be able to get more stuff. It's for us to come to repentance and to turn our lives over to him. And what is repentance? Repentance is saying the same thing as God. And it requires us to humble ourselves and recognize who he is and what he has done for us. And there, it all comes together. The thanks meaning is that we're humble, we're not prideful. That we acknowledge the good graces that God offers us, regardless of how we view them. And then we also understand that when our hearts are wrong, that we need to go back to him in repentance to see that grace and to change our lives accordingly. So as we close and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, give thanks. That's our step. In all circumstances, that's our scope. For this is the will, that is the selection, of God in Christ Jesus, that's the source, for you. That's the shift. God is working for you to restore a broken relationship. This Thanksgiving, make a commitment that every single day going forward is one where you acknowledge the good graces of God and reject the self-centeredness that so often permeates our hearts. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.